afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirk, and with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. There's a lot of doom around at the moment. In fact, I think it's a constant pastime. When I was young, the sources of the end of the world were overpopulation and nuclear war. Now it's, well, it's actually pretty much still about overpopulation, as environmental issues are, it could be argued, overpopulation problems. Anyhow, doom it is. We can doom ourselves, then it's all under our control as a species and our fault, or be doomed by external events. And none is more dramatic than the event we think may have seen off the dinosaurs, a cosmic impact. If a big rock lands on planet Earth, life could become extinct. No, wait, sorry for those doom merchants, but the latest computer simulations reveals that life would fall back to the planet and probably start all over again. Here's the deal. A cosmic impact, powerful enough to wipe out all life on Earth's surface, would loft large amounts of rock into orbit around the Sun, and most of these bits and pieces would end up falling back onto our bruised and battered planet, potentially bringing life back with them, said Stein Sigurðsson, the apologist for my terrible pronunciation. I've no idea where he comes from. A professor in the Department of Astronomy and Astrophysics at Penn State University. This is particularly reassuring, Sigurðsson said. Well, nice, I suppose, if you are excited by a few cells. Personally, I like my life in human form, but we can't have everything. Anyhow, he goes on to say, if you have a sterilizing impact, if you have a beyond dinosaur killer, something that's going to flash fry the entire planet, there is a significant probability that some biota is ejected and returns to the planet, hopefully gently and fast enough to reseed the planet. The existence of such space refuges is supported by computer simulations Sigurðsson and his colleagues have recently performed, which track the trajectories of rock blasted off Earth and other rocky planets into orbit around the Sun. This is a relatively small subclass of ejected material, by the way. Most of the liberated rock would not reach escape velocity and would therefore not come back down in short order. Indeed, scientists think the biggest killer in the impact 66 million years ago may have been a global firestorm that flared up when returning rock heated Earth's upper atmosphere to about 1,500 degrees Celsius. Core blimey. Sigurðsson and his team followed this simulated ejector's orbital evolution for 10 million years. They chose this time span because they said there's a meme in the literature that you might keep biota viable inside a rock for about 10 million years. But beyond that, you're pushing your luck. So these rocks start out in a solar orbit similar to that of a home planet, and most of the material ends up getting reabsorbed, but gravitational tugs from passing planets may yank some of the rocky bits off onto different paths. For example, in the simulations, a few percent of orbiting ejecta made their way onto one of the other rocky planets. And we know this happens, of course. Scientists have identified more than 100 Mars meteorites here on Earth. But the extent of rock swapping in the inner solar system was unexpected in this simulation. Less than 0.1% of the ejecta makes it to the outer solar system, the realm of the potentially habitable Jupiter moon Europa and the Saturn satellites Enceladus and Titan, both of which may also be capable of supporting life. This may not sound like much, but it amounts to tens of thousands of rocks over the course of the solar system's 4.5 billion year history. In conclusion, the solar system is vulnerable to cross-contamination. We should be cognizant of that when we look for life in the outer system. And it also means that if an asteroid blasts the Earth to smithereens, it may not be the end of life in our solar system. Just the end of life as we know it. All right, so that's the end of doom for today. Well, this weekend there is no open night at the observatory, but there will be one on the 25th of May when Dr. Ramatholo Sefako will talk about the importance of dark skies, and that'll be at the observatory at 8 p.m. and all are welcome. And for now, this is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us rock-free skies.